Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
All right, I'm going to start a new series today that I'm very, very excited about. And just going to give you an introduction on the fruit of the Spirit. And this is going to be a series I've never done before. I've preached on the fruit of the Spirit and done many things like that, but this is all brand new. As God is showing me, is then what I want to share with you. And so part one of the Fruit of the Spirit series is going to be an introduction to help you understand some things. If you would come out to Bible study on Wednesday night, you'd be amazed at how a lot of what I'm teaching on Wednesday nights will dovetail with what you're getting today. And if you can possibly make it at 6:30 Wednesday nights, I believe it would be very, very beneficial to you. We've learned on Wednesday nights that God's primary purpose for our lives is to make us in His image. That's what He's up to. That's His goal. So if that's His goal, it ought to be our goal as well. The true nature of God, if you want to know what God's like, you should study the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness or gentleness, and self-control. That's God's nature. And God wants to make you into that image of Him with that same nature, His nature in you. When you encounter God and you're born again, born of the Spirit of God, then Christ lives in your body. He lives in you. And He's in to stay. In the Old Testament days, people had an understanding that God would have a visitation, a time where He would come upon a person for a season to accomplish something and anoint them to do something, and then God's presence would leave them. But today in the new covenant, we know that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We have an inhabitational experience with God. He comes to inhabit us. He comes to live within us. He comes to live and stay within us and flow through our lives with everything we do. Even little things. God is involved in us. He's living in us. He's not coming and going anymore. We're under the new covenant. And Jesus described this life in John 15. You've heard the scripture before. I'm the vine, you're the branches. I want to read you a couple of different versions that I put together to help you understand it. Jesus is actually saying to us, I am the sprouting vine. You are my branches. Raise your hand if you're born again. You're born of the Spirit of God. There, I'm looking at the branches. A lot of branches. As you live in union with me, your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you're powerless like dried up branches to be thrown into the burn pile. But if you live in life union with me and my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask anything you desire and it will be done. How about that? This deserves exploration. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love that. And so we have to look at our lives and say, first of all, am I born of the Spirit of God? Have I been born again? Jesus said, you must be. And if I have, then there ought to be evidences in my life of transformation. Let me ask you, what are the evidences of transformation in your life? There ought to be some evidences. So we need to know what those things are. Well, the measure of transformation or changing from the inside to the outside is not based upon how much knowledge you accumulate up here. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge stored up here that hasn't caused any transformation in their life. They're not any more like Jesus than they were when they were lost. They may be saved, but they're not more like him because they just have a lot of head knowledge. They go to conferences, or they read a lot of books, or they memorize the Bible. They go to church. You can do all that stuff and never be experiencing transformation. In fact, where you go to church is really, really critical. Because if you're going to a church that's not teaching you that there ought to be fruit in your life and you ought to be changing and so forth like that, then you just become a religious person. So it's not just a bunch of knowledge in your head, not education. See, you can become like a Pharisee. Remember Jesus talking about the Pharisees, and he said they were like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, they looked religious and they looked godly and they talked this way and talked that way. But on the inside, he said they're full of dead man's bones. Ask me how I know that. I've been a Pharisee. I'm serious. I have been a Pharisee. I can look back at my life and I can see I was more concerned about what people thought of me than I was of actual transformation on the inside of my heart. And this is very important. Now, there's some things that we need to consider. You know, you might be a Pharisee if some of these things are like you. You're quick to tell people your religious routine. Just off the cuff, you want them to know you spend 2 hours a day in the Bible. You want them to know you fast and pray. You want them to know your religious routine. I spend God time, I walk and pray, or whatever, I go to church. I'm not saying you are a Pharisee, I'm just saying you might be, and that's something you ought to think about. Why is it important for you to tell these other people your religious routine? Wouldn't it be better for them to see the fruit and for someone to say, I can tell you've been with Jesus? Number two, you're insulted by the notion that you might be a Pharisee. I'm looking around to see anybody already got mad at me. Number three, you're convinced that your opinion's the only right one. Everybody else is, You have changed behavior, but you've not changed your heart. You're still bitter, you're still angry, you're still mean, you still don't like those people. You're still whatever. You put your trust in rituals rather than in the finished work of Christ. This is why it's dangerous for you to go to church and not be converted. If you haven't been saved and you go to church in your mind, you thinking that you must be saved because you're going through church, you're having communion, you're giving tithes, you're doing this or you're doing that, you might be a Pharisee. Any former Pharisees here, be careful to admit, hey, I was once a Pharisee. I was blind, but now I see. It's easy to become a Pharisee. You know, God, you got to be careful with titles too. I notice with people, sometimes when you give a person a title, somehow in their mind, they are picking up on that they have arrived or have achieved some degree of accomplishment. Got to be careful. Someone gives you the title of pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher. Got to be very careful with that. I've gone to conferences before and there and next thing I know, I've got people handing me cards because they know I'm a pastor and they're hoping to get an invitation to the church. Well, I'm evangelist so-and-so. I'm prophet so-and-so. I'm apostle so-and-so. And they're handing out cards like they're handing out hot biscuits. Looking for business. Looking for customers. I'm telling you, it's a racket. Religion is dangerous. It is. Religion over history has been a way to manipulate and use people. It's still being that way. You manipulate them, you use them, you get them to do things. That's why I don't want any manipulation in our offering. God's not into that. That's got to be out of your heart freely because you love him, because he's spoken to your heart about giving, and you do that because that's what you know but God wants you to do. You're persuaded. No manipulation, no trick. Growing up in Christ is not based upon how much you attend church or even the experiences you say you've had with God. You actually measure your growth in Christ some practical ways. Here's some. One, there'll be a perception change. How you see God. How you see God. How you see yourself differently because what the Spirit's taught you. Listen, I don't know how long you've walked with the Lord or how long you've been a Christian. Let's just say that. How long you've been a Christian. But I'll guarantee you that if you really are walking with God, that your initial perception of God has changed to what it is today. You've had truth revealed to you, and you've learned God is a lot more loving, a lot more kind, a lot more compassionate, a lot more forgiving, a lot more merciful than you ever thought he was. And then you need to learn to love yourself. That's really important. I talked to a young lady this past week. I witnessed to her, and because I wasn't sure she was saved. And I said, can I share the gospel with you? And I shared the gospel with her, and she said, I have been born again. She told me time and place and what happened to her. And I said, okay, fine. That's great. And I said, but one thing I have to confess is that I just feel so worthless. I just don't feel like I'm worth anything. And I said, well, that's a stronghold in your mind. The devil has taught you that over and over and you believed it. And that's not the way God feels about you. If God sent his only son down here onto the earth to die in your place because there was no other way to save you, even if you'd have been the only person in the whole universe, he still would have done that. That tells me you have incredible worth. So this stronghold in your mind has got to change. So what I'm saying is when you walk with God, one of the evidences that you are being changed is not only how you see God, but how you look at yourself. You don't hate yourself. You don't think you're worthless. You're being changed. You're being transformed. Another way that we can see that we're growing in Christ is our mindset change. A mindset. This sounds like the same thing, but it's a little bit different. You don't react negatively, impulsively like you used to. If you used to have a hot temper and you know that you're getting better, you may fly off the handle every once in a while, but not as often as you used to when you first got started walking with Christ, then you know that you're growing. You're not there yet, but you're growing. You're maturing. You don't go into a slump of depression as often as you used to when the money didn't come in to pay the bills on time like you thought it would, or you overspent or mismanaged your money or whatever, and you don't go into a slump of depression like you used to. Maybe every once in a while you still have an issue with that, but overall you're getting better. Are you with me? Your mindset is changing. You're changing. You're being transformed. Growth is a process. And then number three is a language change. You start to use the same language that God does. You start to talk about people the way God talks about people. Do you know that God never talks negatively about anybody? And why do you? That's an area of change. He never puts question marks over somebody's head. He never talks negative about your circumstances, your troubles. He's optimistic. He really believes he's the God of the universe and nothing's impossible with him. He really believes nothing's too difficult for the Lord. He really believes that. Your language begins to change. You know you're being transformed, and finally your behavior will change. You choose to lay aside the old ways of behavior. It's a choice. And you're responding to the grace that you find that God's given you. That's how you know you're changing. So, is your life bearing fruit of Christ living inside your body? Does your life, you look in the mirror, I'm pointing the finger at you, I'm pointing it at myself. You look in your own life and examine, because you say, Christ lives in me. Can you see transformational fruit beginning to come out? A lot of people would say, yeah, I can, but not very much. I need to grow. I need to accelerate. I'm behind the growth. Well, God understands all that. And he's gentle with you. The leading of the Spirit is not hurry up. The leading of the Spirit is get it done. No, it's not. God enjoys the process with you. He's gentle with you. He's loving to you. He's kind. He's patient with you. He knows how to accelerate things in your life. There are times that you get on the fast track with God and it's so overwhelming you can't even keep up with the revelation. You can't write as fast and keep in notes. When those kind of times come, it's like, oh my goodness, you're overwhelmed. God knows what to do to get you growing. Let me challenge you. Mark down this day, 365 days from today. You ought to be able to look back as a result of this hearing, this message on this day, and you ought to be able to look back and see, has there been transformational change in my life? If the truth sets you free, does it? Only about three of you agree. Does Jesus said, if you know the truth sets you free. Amen. Does the truth set you free? Okay. So if you're not free in a certain area, you keep on falling back to the old man's ways, you need to find out the lie that you're still believing or a stronghold in your life that's keeping you from being free in that area. We're jumping off into the deep end of the pool here. God wants you to be like Him. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's really, really good. Do you remember back in my day, the Jungle Book movie when it first came out? You know, the Jungle Book movie, the cartoon, you know, the original one, you know. There was one of the characters there, King Louie. Anybody remember King Louie? And I want you to, can you play that clip? Can you have that ready? Can you play his song that I really love this? It's a deeply spiritual song. You need to listen to it. Can you just play a portion of it whenever you're ready? Listen. Deeply spiritual. Video unavailable. Okay, never mind. Bring me the words up. That's all I need. Remember, he sounded kind of like, who was that black trumpet player? What? Louis Armstrong. Ooby-doo, I want to be like you, ooh, ooh. I want to walk like you, talk like you, ooh, ooh, ooh. You see, it's true, ooh, ooh, that someone like me can learn to be like someone like you. Don't encourage me. Now, it's a deeply spiritual song. That's a spiritual song. I saw that this week and I said, that's a spiritual song. So, I want you to stand up, sing it with me. Come on, come on, come on, don't be shy. Don't throw down that pride. All right, here we go. Oh, ooby-doo, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you, talk like you, too. You'll see it's true that someone like me can learn to be like someone like you. One more time. Oh, ooby-doo, I want to be like you. I want to talk like you, walk like you, too. You'll see it's true that someone like me can learn to be like someone like you. Now, I can't wait till we hear from the internet people saying, what kind of church is that? Now, can you do a little trumpet sound with me? You don't know what you got into. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. Now, that's a song that's going to be stuck in your head this week. You're going to try to go to sleep tonight, and the Holy Spirit's going to come in and start singing that. Hey, come on. It's going to get your brain stuck. Now, here's something that's really important, though. When you go through one trial that you've been through, a similar trial, maybe financial or with a child or whatever, and you keep going through that trial over and over and over again, can I get a witness from somebody? Okay. Well, you go through something over and over again, you have to ask yourself, am I getting better or worse? Because I'm having to retake this test over and over. Even if the situation was that comes from the devil, even if the situation is intended for evil, God can use it for good. Because God could sovereignly stop this thing if he didn't want it to happen, but he sovereignly allowed it to happen. Because he wants to show you there's a part of his nature that you have in your DNA that he wants to come out of your life so you can overcome this thing. Jesus said, look, in this world you're going to have trouble. He didn't want anybody to be surprised that once you start following Jesus that you wouldn't have trouble. So he told us up front, look, in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome it. So we got to find out how to overcome it his way and in his spirit. And in his nature and in his likeness. Are you with me? So we need this feeling of, I need more of you, God. Well, we have God. He didn't just give us a little dab. We have the Lord once we're born of the Spirit. We have the Lord. He's in us. And he wants us to understand that there is a craving and a desire, once you have the Lord in you, that you want more. It's not that you get more in proportion, more awareness, more intimacy, more time, more revelation. You don't get necessarily more of God. He gets more of you. And you yield to allowing him to have his way with you. Where you start to spend time in prayer with him in ways that you didn't before, and the people who don't know what you're doing think, well, you're just out there wasting your time talking to God. You're spending more time in the Word because it's feeding your soul. And so we used to sing this song a long time ago, more love, more power, more of you in my life. You remember that? Can you bring the words up for me? More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Then we would go, and I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength, for you are my Lord. You are my Lord. Come on, sing it with me. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. Do you think God wants you to have more of his power? More of his life? More of his passion? More of his joy, more of his peace, more of his patience. Yeah, yeah. He already deposited in you in the form of the Holy Spirit being merged with your spirit when you were born again. His DNA went inside you. Now there's a part that you need to cooperate with God. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You don't work for salvation. You work out what he's already placed in you. And what he's placed in you needs your cooperation. More love, more power, more of you manifested in this life. More patience with my wife. More love with my children. More forgiveness in my life. I will worship you with all of my heart. You see what I'm saying? This incorporates your whole life. It consumes you. It takes over. You didn't realize it when Jesus came into your life. He didn't want just a little portion so you could have you on Sunday. He wanted it all. I come to take over, he says. And you'll be glad that he did. But he doesn't take over and take away your identity. It's you and Him together, a new creation that never existed before. Amen. That goes out and faces a world full of tribulation, war and violence and evil and darkness, and walks in the midst of it and brings a piece of heaven down wherever you are into the ultimate. And your presence changes the atmosphere. We sang that song, when you walk in the room, talking about the Lord. But it's also true because the Lord's in you. When you walk in the room, everything changes. Everybody can be on suicide hotline, ready to cut their throats and everything. But when you walk in the room, guess what? You brought hope with you. Ain't no hopeless situation. Ain't it because of you? It's because of the Christ that's in you. But He's using your life. He's using your smile, using your voice, using your sense of humor, using the unique you to make a difference in the world. Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. Wow. I'm looking at portraits of art right here. Every one of you, your life. Oh my goodness. There is an incredible story about the glory of God. You got a story. Every one of you. You're a beautiful portrait. And we realize that God has done this not because of something in us that was good that He wanted to redeem, but because of His great love. And it glorifies God when He can manifest His life through us, that we can bear fruit that we have been with Jesus and that we have His DNA. Thou art worthy, Revelation 4:11. O Lord, to receive glory and to receive honor and to receive power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. So wherever God has assigned you right now, whatever your assignment is, where you live in a neighborhood, the job you have, the school you go to, whatever it is, that's your placement. And that's where God wants you to be at this moment. You need to let His pleasure come through your life, that you're here to bring Him pleasure. You're here to bring Him pleasure. You're not here to complain about your circumstances, whine and cry about your sore joints. You're here to bring Him pleasure. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. Thanksgiving all the time and rejoicing all the time are one of the ways you abide in Christ. That's one of the ways. Now, Father, we should ask You, what is Your pleasure in this specific trial that I'm in right now? What is Your good pleasure, sir? You've assigned me this. It's an assignment on my life. I'd rather get rid of it. I'd rather not have this trouble. I'd rather not have to deal with this tough boss. I'd rather not have to deal with this issue. I'd rather not have to deal with whatever it is you're dealing with. You ought to stop right now and breathe a 15-second prayer to God. Ask Him. Did you? One person. Did you? This is interactive preaching here, folks. You got to respond, okay? So if you ask God that, and you say, well, I didn't hear anything, well, give Him time. If you ask God that, and if He wants to reveal it to you, He'll let you know what His good pleasure will be out of this trial that you're in, that you've been praying that He would get it out of your life. It might be that He just wants you to change your attitude right now and believe that He really is God in charge. I didn't say in control, I said in charge. God doesn't want to be in control, He wants you to be in control. Self-control, fruit of the Spirit, yielded to Him. He didn't want robots, He gave you a free will. He's in charge, but He doesn't want to be in control. He gave man authority on this earth to be in control. God is with you in every situation. Do you believe that? Life is an adventure. Do you believe that? It's not a nightmare. Quit saying that. Life is about discovering who you really are in Christ. I hope you'll come out Wednesday night, because I'm going to do a good teaching on what it means to be in Christ, and as well as what does it mean to have Christ in you. Two different things. Every fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control, every fruit of the Spirit has its own perceptions, has its own language, has its own mindsets, and its own behavioral changes to convert us from being so earthbound to become heavenly minded. That's how Jesus lived. Now, if you go through the same circumstance over and over again and you react the same negative way each time, it means you have an ingrained stronghold, and God wants to change that into probably the very opposite of the way you react. For example, if you go through a trial and you get frustrated all the time, well, instead of being frustrated this time, God wants you to have peace. He wants you to be patient. Maybe that's the whole purpose of the whole trial. Instead of worrying about something every time you come up against some opposition and fear, He wants you to have faith and peace about that. And the next time you come upon depression, and you know, it just kind of frequent flyer, and the thing comes up on you and hits you, and you start to feel hopeless, and instead of coping with it with unhealthy ways, instead of doing that, God wants you to have hope. He wants you to have joy and peace in believing, an expectancy that you can anticipate something good is going to come out of this some way, somehow. Because God could have stopped it. He didn't stop it. God's a good God. And if He's a good God, then something's good is going to come out of this. And we all know that God makes all things work together for good for them that love God and call according to His purpose. Are you with me? Are you see, he's wanting to change your opposite fleshly way of dealing with things into a supernatural change so that people will say, my, you're not the same person that I used to know. And you say, praise God. I got out of my Pampers and I'm into my big boy britches now. Praise God, I'm maturing. I'm not on baby food anymore. I'm eating steak. Hallelujah. And so we understand that the fruit we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit grows slowly. Everybody say slowly. And abiding in Christ is critical to understand this. Abiding is a walk. It's not a run. It's not a hurry up. One thing can stop the fruit of the Spirit from growing in your life, and it's this: not abiding. Not abiding in Christ. That's why it's vital for you to understand what it means to abide in Christ and have Christ in you. John 14, look at what Jesus said. John 14, verse 21 says, those who truly love me, Jesus is speaking, those who truly love me and those who obey my commands are those who will obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return and manifest my life in you. Glory to God. You're going to see Jesus in me. He's going to manifest His life through me to you. And the same thing is true for you. He's going to manifest His life through you to people around you that don't know Jesus. Some who will never go to church. Some who don't even believe in God. And yet they're going to see Christ in you. You may be the only witness they'll ever see. You can't afford to compromise. You can't afford to have a day where you say, well, you know, I'm taking a day off. I'm not going to abide in Christ today. I'm going to go over here and live in the flesh. You can't afford that. Because the person that God has is stalking you, the person who's watching your life, the person who wonders about Christ and Christianity, and they see you over here in the ditch, in the flesh, and indulging in things that you shouldn't be involved in, and they say, then they go, well, I guess there was nothing to that Christianity stuff. You don't realize how important that is. Now, I know you're not perfect, and neither am I. We all have our moments and our weaknesses and everything, but God works with us. But it should be our intent to say, I want to abide in Christ. I'm intent on abiding in Christ and remaining in Him. He's the vine, I'm the branches. As soon as Jesus said this, one of His disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, now, Lord, how come You have revealed your identity to us as the disciples, but You haven't just revealed Yourself to the whole world? Why don't You just be glorified in front of everybody? Why don't You just turn up that white raiment and that glow on your face and a halo on your head and walk through town and say, it's Me. Why don't You do that? And Jesus replied with this answer in verse 23. He said, loving Me empowers you to obey My word. That's why love is the main thing. When we give an offering, it's got to be out of love. When we sing praise, it's got to be out of love. When we obey God, it's got to be out of love. When we avoid sin, it can't be, well, I just want to keep my record clean. No, it's got to be out of love. Everything flows through love because God is love. That's His nature. And all the fruits of the Spirit grow out of love. Loving Me empowers you to obey My word. That's a huge key right there. You ought to capture that one and keep it in your pocket and meditate on it and remind yourself of this. Loving God empowers me to obey Him. So when you don't obey God, it's not a power failure, it's a love failure. And My Father will love you so deeply that we're going to come. We, notice, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're going to come and we're going to make You our dwelling place. Instead of Habitat for Humanity, you're a habitat for divinity. Yeah, you are, according to Scripture. We're going to dwell in you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're going to come and make their home in you. Whoa. We're going to live in you and through you. You're learning how to live with God every part of your life. And the good news is He's always cheerful and fun-loving. God's got a great sense of humor if you'll let Him talk to you. All God ever wanted from the very beginning of time was a family, was children, and was friendship from you. Jesus went to the cross. He died a criminal's death. He was totally innocent. He not only went to the cross for you, but as we learn on Wednesday night, He went to the cross as you. Your sin nature was crucified on the cross if you've been born again. He took your sins and your sin nature, He crucified it, paying the penalty that God demanded to be paid. The wages of sin is death. He paid it, and when He died on the cross, He said, it's finished. It's finished. It's paid in full. Glory to God. Somebody ought to be shouting and jumping around this church right now. You don't have to be religious to pay for anything. You don't have to do anything to do anything. You just have to receive. It is paid for. Glory to God, it's paid for. Sin no longer is an issue between God and you once you're born again. He took care of that on the cross. God put you in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. And then He also says in other places in the Bible that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. What's the difference? Christ, you're in Christ and Christ in you. We'll come out Wednesday night and I'll tell you about it. All of Christianity can be summed up with two words. All of Christianity can be summed up with two words of Jesus. Follow Me. Not hard, not difficult. We know what He wants us to do. Follow Him. Follow Me. We make our plans. I'm learning like you do. I've made plans before that didn't come out like I planned. And we make our plans sometimes, and then off we go. But God has divine appointments, some divine appointments set up for us that we are not going to skirt around. He has certain people that he's planned for you to meet in this life that are going to be life-changing moments for you or them. He has some divine appointments for you. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, but let's say you're walking in the flesh, rather, you might interpret a divine appointment as an interruption in your work. I know how I am. Sometimes I got my to-do list and get-her-done list, and I'm going boom, 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 and getting it done and thinking I'm really doing great today. And all of a sudden, there's somebody that knocks on my door that wants to have a visitation time and talk, and I go, and I try to listen on the, not all the time, but I try to listen to the Lord and say, is this an interruption or a divine appointment? And when I don't hear anything at that moment, I think he's leaving it up to me to decide. So I'd rather err on the side of it's a divine appointment. So I stop what I'm doing. I've learned. I'm not there completely, but I've learned. So I stop what I'm doing, and I'll just sit down and, okay, I need a little breather. You just talk. And they'll talk and talk and talk. A lot longer than the 5 minutes that I expected this counseling session to be over with. Could I just pray a blessing on you and be on my way? No. They talk and talk and talk. And then they open up. And then you waited on the Lord long enough where the dam starts to break. A tear comes out of their eye. Their voice shakes. You struck oil because you were patient and you waited on God. And they broke. And they said something that was deep within their soul. They needed somebody to talk to. They needed to let this dam break. They needed Jesus at that moment. And the only Jesus that was available was you. And you sit there amazed at what they pour out. They cry. You cry with them. You lay your hands on them. You bless them. And you go, my, my, my. That was a divine appointment. I didn't have that on my to-do list, but God had it on His. And what I'm telling you is that patience is part of God's nature. It ought to be part of yours and mine. You've got to pay attention. Jesus is with you all the time. And if you're not walking in the Spirit at that moment, but in the flesh, you might interpret a divine appointment as an interruption. A dear friend, Mr. Joseph Silva, who went on to be with the Lord, spent a couple of years here with us and taught me a valuable message one day that I'll never forget. He entitled it, Beware of the Barrenness of a Busy Life. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're productive. Jesus was busy, but he's never in a hurry. He never told somebody, I'm too busy for that. I can't deal with that right now. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. I don't think Jesus intends for us to be in such a hurry. My favorite human quote is by a Catholic, former Catholic priest, Henry Nouwen, wrote many books. And he says, can you bring that up next, please? I quote it right. He said, I have always been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I slowly realized that my interruptions were my work. That speaks volumes to me. Jesus be preaching a sermon. He's preaching a sermon about something over here in the kingdom. All of a sudden, some knucklehead over here says, Master, would you just tell my brother to share the inheritance with me? Instead of getting frustrated, like a lot of us would do, you're interrupting my message. Let me finish preaching, I'll get back to you. He didn't do that. Instead, Jesus just shifted. And he created a message out of that man's statement. about covetousness. That's the way Jesus was. He'd be going on one, I'm going to one city to another, and I'm planning on being there by such and such a time, and got my guys with me, and all of a sudden, someone would interrupt him. Can you heal my daughter? She's dying. Well, I don't do healings on Monday. You have to come back on Sunday. Of course not. The purpose of this series, and I'm landing the plane right now, the purpose of this series is to make us look at our lives seriously. You need to go stand in front of a mirror. I know that's scary, but you need to look in the mirror, look deeply in your eyes, and saying, am I becoming more like Jesus, or am I just becoming religious? And only you and God can answer that. This is the purpose of why we're going through this series for this month, or however long it takes. God wants you to grow and bear fruit. Now, I know I'm primarily speaking to born-again people, because you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You've got to have the Spirit to bear fruit of the Spirit. So I'm primarily preaching to born-again people, which I assume most of you are. But there's always going to be a few folks here that are not born again of the Spirit. You're welcome to listen, too. Don't mind at all. I'm glad you're here. In fact, it may be that you're here because the primary purpose you're here is to make you envious and say, I want that kind of life. I want to be born of the Spirit. And we're going to learn that fruit doesn't grow without your abiding. We're going to learn really what that means to abide. We're going to learn that you can't want new things and continue to think the old way. We're going to learn that we're going to quit saying things like, boy, this is going to be hard. Who told you that? Who told you it's going to be hard? We need to have an expectation that the Christian life is not going to be hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Just bend your neck to me. My yoke is easy. So God brought you here, ladies and gentlemen, and He brought me here as an invitation to encounter God, to go deeper. We want to go deeper into God's nature. And if today you're here and you got some inspiration from something that was said or something was sung, then praise God. God wants to take it further. Listen to this final comment. And well, keep listening after that too. But I mean, just listen. Inspiration is an invitation to go deeper into exploration to have transformation. Now, that's a fancy way of saying when you get inspired by something you hear or a song you hear, that's the Holy Spirit quickening. There's life in this thing. There's life in what you just heard. There's life in that. So when you get inspired, God is saying, now, don't stop with the inspiration. And once the goosebumps are gone, it's over with. Now, take that thought. Take that scripture. Go spend some time and talk to God with that. And explore. Let's mine in that. Let's dig down deeper. Let's explore some key words. Let's go deeper with this. Because God has something in that inspiration for you to take you deeper in Him. That's what He wants. He loves you so much. He said, I can't leave you here like you are when there's so much more riches you have yet to experience of me. However, if you're not born again, there needs to be a starting point, a place where you are born of the Spirit of God. That's something God does supernaturally. But with your cooperation, if you confess with your mouth, agree with God. Confess means agree. If you confess with your mouth, agree with God, Jesus is Lord. Lord over all. Lord God Almighty. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that He's alive right now. He said, you'll be saved. So you got to confess that with your mouth. I believe that Jesus is Lord and He's alive right now. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Savior. You can do that outside church. You can do that in your home. You can do that anywhere. Anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. Because all the hard work's been done. All the heavy lifting was right there. And when Jesus said it's finished, it was finished. And you have to agree with God. If you've never done that, never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'd like to invite you to do that right now. Would you please stand up to your feet and pray with me? Altar workers, would you come up here and stand with me? We're going to minister to folks today in the love of God. Would you bow your heads? Might be someone here today who just doesn't quite know how to put all that together, how to be born of the Spirit of God, or not sure where they are. Well, just nail it down. Based on the authority of God's Word, bow your head, close your eyes, and pray this prayer out loud, at least loud enough where you can hear yourself. Lord God, I do believe in you. I believe Jesus is Lord. The Father raised him from the dead on Easter Sunday, and he's alive right now. And with the best of my ability, I confess that I have sinned and I need a Savior. And you provided the only one, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I ask you, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord, my God, my Savior. From this moment on, I believe you and I keep believing. I take you at your word. You said if I did believe, I would be saved. Then I'm saved. Whether I feel it or not, I claim your word. I am the redeemed of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you? Are you? Rejoice in that. Thank you, God. You saved me so easily. You saved me. I didn't have to become religious. You saved me. Rejoice in that. Just rejoice in your salvation today. Praise God. And if you prayed that prayer, I'd love for you to come up here and share that with me and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you. Just that simple. Praise God. Praise God. Now, there's wonderful altar workers up here, very spiritually minded people. They're very sensitive to the Spirit. They know how to pray over you, how to prophesy over you. Whatever your need is, would you be sensitive enough to let the Holy Spirit have a couple more minutes? He may direct you. Go up and pray with that woman. Ask that man to pray for you. Ask that lady here to pray for you. They're here to minister. There's divine appointments. They're supposed to happen here at this altar. But you got to be sensitive. And right now, while you're paying attention to God, is a good time. So I'm going to bless you. And then I'm going to release this congregation. If you're ready to go home or go wherever, God bless you. Come back Wednesday night, 6:30 for Bible study. But if you need ministry, stay here. Wait for prayer. If you're a first-time visitor, stop by the front table out there. If I'm not out there in time, there's books in the bin out there that I wrote to give you. First-time visitors, please take home a copy. Please read it. Tell you the history of this church. Now, Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for your great work that you've begun in them and that you'll be faithful to complete it. I bless them today and release them in the name of the Lord Jesus to go out in the world to make a difference. That wherever they go, Lord, because they walk into a room, everything changes. Hope will come to the hopeless. Life and joy and peace will manifest in their life. The fruit of the Spirit come in abundance. This is a year for abundance. Abundant life. Abundant life of Christ. This is the time of transformation. The time of change. The time of growth. And I bless you, sweet people of God, beloved of God, precious children of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.